From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Chadwick. Later in the program, a feature story, a follow-up to something we reported first last year, two wounded veterans recovering from their injuries in the war in Iraq.
But first, more admonitions to Iraqi leaders to break their political deadlock. Here is Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and her British counterpart, Jack Straw.
We have sent very, very strong messages repeatedly, not just in this visit, that one of the first things that the multinational forces and the governments that from which they come expect is that there is going to be a reining in of militias.
There is frankly no doubt that the political vacuum that is here at the moment is not assisting the security situation, and the country's got to be able to move forward.
That's British Foreign Secretary Jack Straw and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice speaking today from Baghdad. More than 3 months after parliamentary elections, Iraq seems no closer to forming a unified government.
New York Times reporter Ed Wong joins us from Baghdad. Ed, your lead in the paper filed a little while ago online in the online edition. Secretary Rice and Minister Straw demanded that the Iraqis form a government as quickly as possible. That's pretty stiff language.
That's right, Alex. Basically, this is the second day of a two-day trip they made here. And their forceful language today echoes some of what they said yesterday. They're signaling that the White House and Downing Street are basically at the end of their patience in terms of watching the politicking here. They've been stressing that there's been a lot of sacrifices made, a lot of blood paid by American and British troops here, as well as a lot of money spent, and that so far Iraq doesn't seem to be meeting the requirements that they want. They want basically a speedy government to be put into place.
At real issue is this man, al-Jafari. He is supposed to be forming a new government. He was elected by the Shiite faction, the largest group in the parliament, back in February to form a government. But he can't get the Sunnis and the Kurds to give him the two-thirds backing that he would need in parliament to actually get a government approved and sworn in. Why can't he get that? Is it al-Jafari or is it something in the process?
There's a couple of different reasons why people don't like him. One, he just doesn't have a lot of popular support among Iraqis. Among Sunni Arabs in particular, they distrust him because they believe that in the last year under his governance, Shiite militias have entered the Iraqi security forces and that there are death squads being run by the government that have been going around kidnapping Sunnis and killing them. And now Ambassador Khalilzad here, the American ambassador, says that militias are responsible for the brunt of the deaths that we see every day here in Baghdad. So he's sort of lending some support to the Sunni Arab accusations against the government. Now, the Kurds have disliked Jafari for another reason. They think one thing that really ticked off the Kurdish president, Jalal Talabani, was a visit that Jafari made to Turkey in February. And basically, Turkey is much hated by the Kurds because the Turks have had a history of oppressing the Kurds.
Well, already there are complaints by some Iraqi politicians that the U.S. is interfering too much already. This is before these demands by Secretary Rice and Minister Straw. What's going to happen now?
The U.S. wants to keep pressure on Jafari. Jafari is accusing them of interfering, but there are also Shiite factions that support the American intervention because, in their minds, the more the Americans pressure Jafari, the greater chance they have of putting forward their own candidate to replace Jafari. So we've got people like Abdulaziz al-Hakim, who's the leader of the Shiite bloc, and he's already got his candidate waiting in the wings. And I believe in the next few days we'll see him officially put forward his candidate and say, this is the guy that we'd like to run for prime minister.
New York Times reporter Ed Wong with us from Baghdad. Ed, thank you again.
Thanks a lot, Alex.